Hi everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Queer Mountaineers. I'm your host, Kayla Gagnon. Now, before we get into the episode, you might have noticed that the logo got a little bit of a facelift. I think it looks amazing, and I wanted to give a shout out and say thank you to Becky Parsons for doing a wonderful job on it. I'll put her Instagram in the description for the episode so you can follow her and all that good stuff. In this episode, I sat down with Liz Hamperian and Justin Michael, the President and Communications Director of OutMOV, a queer nonprofit that serves the Middle Ohio Valley. We chatted about how the organization came together and how it's been since the pandemic started, as well as what they hope to accomplish in the future. This episode will start after this quick ad read. Hey, Liz and Justin, do y'all mind saying a little bit about yourselves and your position?
Sure. I'm Liz. I guess I'll go. I'm Liz. I'm the president of OutMOV. I started out as the vice president and recently elected president. I'm a founding member of the group, really along with Justin, because Justin's been with us. And I am she, her. I'm bisexual, polyamorous, and I live in Vienna, West Virginia.
Awesome. How about you, Justin?
Well, my name's Justin. I, too, have been with the group since the beginning, and I'm the communications chair, so I help with all the social media, photography, the events, like trying to boost them and get more people to interact with us. And so that's been a really fun journey for me. And I am gay, very proud.
Yay. Lesbian over here, if that's anyone wanted to know. Lesbian, she, her, in case anyone forgot. I mentioned it a few times on the podcast, but hey, we might have some new people who are listening. So, OutMOV. So MOV stands for Middle Ohio Valley. Am I right with that?
Correct.
So it's not just West Virginia that OutMOV, I keep calling it OutMOV for some reason, OutMOV, like it's not just West Virginia. Do you also work with other areas in the valley? Unclear, I'm assuming?
Yes. So we have Kim did this. It's a foreign entity application we had to fill out. So we really serve Washington County, Ohio, as well as Wood County, West Virginia. So we're able to kind of cross the river, which a lot of organizations around here have not been able to do. And that's nice because we can host events over there and here. And we try to scatter it out for convenience for everybody because we're always conscious of, you know, do people have vehicles? Do they need to be near a bus line? So we try to do things in different areas of the valley. So it opens opportunities.
Cool. Thanks for clarifying that. I just want to make sure I got that understood. That's awesome. So do you mind telling, for people who haven't heard of OutMOV, some of the things that y'all do as an organization?
We provide educational, social events for the community. As a 501c4 too, because there was not an organization that was able to do that in our area. And we felt that there was a really strong need for that, especially more so even this year with the legislature, because it's been frightening.
Well, I just want to say I'm really happy that we're able to cater to the different communities like in the entire Mid-Ohio Valley, because personally I'm in Marietta, so being able to be on this side of the river is a really nice thing. We have like roots everywhere now, so we just are grabbing everybody we can reach and pulling them in.
Yes. Oh my goodness. So how long has OutMOV like been active?
We were established in August 2019. The story like goes back a little further than that. Love story. I met Jean Peters.
She's been on this podcast.
Yes. about 5 years ago, and we just like, I don't know what it was, but we just like clicked. And then I met Kim, and the three of us just got super, super close. And one day we were sitting in Kim's office and we were like, okay, we've done this, we've done this, we've done this. what else can we do? Like, what other holes can we fill here to help out the community? And Kim, of course, was like, oh, I set up a 501c4. So I don't know, what do you guys want to do? So we formed it officially in August 2019. Kim actually came up with the name OutMOV. And we started a steering committee. And pretty much everybody that was on the original steering committee is on the board now. So we're a really like tight-knit group. We want to expand. We want to bring everybody into the fold. We're really proud that we have one of the most intersectional boards in the state, but we want to bring everybody in. So we're going to be starting a volunteer page soon. Dustin started a Discord channel for us because it's nice that we have this really good core group of people, but we really want to invite more community members in. So we're excited to be able to open and be with people in person and have open meetings again.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I feel like I'm really trying to expand our media outreach because we've been trapped inside for so long. Everybody really needs a place to go. So yeah, we started a Discord. We're still getting that together. I'm not sure when it'll go out for everybody, but I think that'll be a good place for everybody to be. And then we have our Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all OutMOV on them, and they seem to be doing really good too. It's nice to see, even through all of this, everybody still comes to support and stay strong.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, the pandemic definitely took a hit on literally everything. You know, what's it like, what's that been like trying to reach this community, you know, pretty much almost entirely online, I'm assuming, because of the pandemic?
It's been different. It's hard because we want to do so much, like so much, but there's only like that much we can do. We tried to host online events, so people could come video chat, call, just catch up with everybody. But I feel like just more of that is all we can do now, and then plan events when we're able to.
We had a failed book club. Very much failed virtual book club. People were not into it. We did one book.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, it's kind of been, you know, with figuring things out in this, you know, I can't really say post-pandemic because it's still a pandemic, but, you know, still a pandemic world, pandemic-ridden world.
Right.
We're still dealing with this thing that we've been dealing with for a year now. You know, it's kind of just figuring out what works. This isn't, like I said, it's like an entirely new world that we're living in right now, but it's getting a little better. People are getting vaccinated, right? I just got my first dose like last week, so.
Yay, congrats.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Right. Oh, my God. It's one step closer to, you know, being in person and, you know, hanging out together in person as a community.
Some sense of normalcy again. I need a drag show.
Same. I mean, I love my digital shows. I love and support the Twitch shows that are you know, the digital drag shows, but like there's nothing like the electricity of an in-person show. Absolutely.
No, I need to hand all of my money to you.
Oh my God. But yeah, I mean, so with the pandemic, you know, what are some of the challenges of trying to keep, you know, trying to reach your community members, you know, via the internet? I sound professional, I know.
I feel like with me, it's been just finding where everybody is going, because we have all these different platforms, and through the pandemic, like other platforms have gotten very popular, and it's like, where are the people? So we have a lot on Facebook right now. That seems to be our biggest one. So we try to do most of our connections through that, but through our Instagram and Twitter as well. And then hopefully Discord can become something. But yeah, it's just been finding out where they are and how to get to the most people at the right time.
Yeah. Fundraising has been a major challenge too, because how can you fundraise when you're not really providing anything?
Yeah.
So we had a big fundraiser planned for April of 2020. We were gonna do a mac and cheese cook-off. And of course that couldn't happen. And I was even so naive that I was back in March, I was like, maybe it's way better, but no. So that's been really difficult. And the fact that we were gaining so much momentum in those first few months, we were able to have a successful Halloween bonfire. We had a holiday potluck. We had several open meetings where we brainstormed and people came up with really good ideas. We traveled to different outspoken showings. And things were going really well. And then for a new organization to just be halted like that, it's definitely been challenging.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. I mean, I can't imagine, I should say. A lot of things that I was looking forward to got ended up getting canceled. So, yeah, I mean, I was planning on going to like all these different Pride events all over the state, last summer, and that did not happen. But things are getting better. I'm still here in West Virginia for school, so
I'll make it happen. We're still able to do this.
Exactly. Well, you mentioned Outspoken, the documentary focusing on the queer community in Parkersburg. Do you want to chat a little bit about that?
Yeah, I was not even aware that it was being filmed at the time that it was. I saw Emily like around with a camera and I was like, oh, she's probably just a videographer. Like I had no idea what was going on because I was pretty new on the scene then. I had just started helping out with Pride. And she was there filming through a lot of that. But I really enjoyed it. Jean and Kim are like the realest people. And I thought that she did a really good job telling their story. And it was cool to go to the different UP, and then we attended one down in Charleston, and watching the response to it was really awesome. And I really thank Emily for doing that and shining a light on the way it really is around here. Because it's not just West Virginia. The Mid-Ohio Valley is a whole different animal. Like, it is the worst of the worst as far as how LGBTQ people are treated.
Well, Liz, you mentioned that the Mid-Ohio Valley is like, some of the worst of the worst when it comes to how LGBTQ plus people are treated. What's it like helping to run a queer nonprofit organization in that area?
Combination of rewarding and daunting.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have such a high population too of queer people in the Mid-Ohio Valley. And that's what's kind of mind-boggling about it, is that we're here. We've always been here. Per capita, we have one of the highest trans populations, yet there are no services for them. Yeah. There are no drop-in centers. There are very few groups that will work with them. We have red supermajorities, not only in the legislature, but in Parkersburg City Council. And there, there are great people here, but there are also people with such backward notions of what we are and this idea that we're all deviants. And it can be frustrating. Some days you do just want to cry, you want to quit, but like you have to keep going, because mainly for me, I think about the trans kids and how much they need and serve that they are, and that's honestly what keeps me going.
Same here. Yeah, it's just really rewarding to see when we are able to help people. Like it is hard through the pandemic to reach people, but when we are able to, it's nice, because we've had a few times when people really needed our help and we were able to be there for them and really help them through hard times, and they can become different people after that and become themselves truly. And it's nice to really help somebody on that journey, because it is hard.
Yeah. I mean, Liz mentioned earlier a little bit about the supermajority in, people in the government, in both local and state governments. Well, speaking of all of that, there's a bill in the state legislature in West Virginia that's about trying to ban trans kids from playing in the sports that corresponds with their gender identity. Yeah. Would you like to weigh in on that? Oh my God, there's a whole debacle right there.
I feel like for us to be facing something like that in 2021 is a huge problem. Like, why does it need to be this hard?
Especially ironic because West Virginia has one of the highest like proportions of trans youth in the country.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
My heart breaks for them.
Yeah, it really just shows that we need to put our best foot forward and keep pushing for all the best changes, because we can do all the work we want, but there's always still going to be work that needs done.
Yeah, I mean, it's also kind of like this wave of bills like it going through, spreading through, you know, particularly red states with this kind of legislation. Any thoughts on that?
They're fear-based bills. None of them are backed up by anything valid or empirical. My hope is that the ACLU will step in with a lot of these and get them squashed, but especially the ACLU of West Virginia, they're so overworked, I would imagine, with all the stuff. On our end, what we've been able to do is there wasn't a lobby day, you know, this year. You couldn't go to the Capitol and lobby if you were able to in years past, but we've encouraged people to call representatives. We have shared the information so people know who to call. But beyond that, you know, I kind of feel like we've been powerless in this situation because, you know, our local representatives, Conley of Wood County, he was quoted as saying, if you were born a man, you're a man, and that's it, on the floor. So those are the type of people dealing with. And it's, I hate to say it, but like, we almost need that entire generation of people that are in the legislature to just sort of cycle off and have a total do-over before I feel like anything can get better. But I'd forgot there was one positive thing I wanted to add. Your listeners also know Planned Parenthood of Vienna is now offering gender affirming healthcare. So that's a big, big step in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, it can be very tempting to, you know, I mean, to lean into like, oh my God, it's horrible to live here. Oh my God, you know. I mean, what I'm trying to do with this podcast is trying to show the reality, which includes the good and the bad. So thank you for sharing that and pointing that out. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
To go with more good, today is International Transgender Day of Visibility.
Yay! Of course. Yes. This episode will be releasing on the 2nd, I think. Yeah, 2nd. So as of this recording, it is Transgender Day of Visibility. Yeah. And of course, it's an important day for our community. So yay, celebration. Celebrate our trans family members, siblings, all of that stuff.
Yay. If you're listening, we love you.
Of course. Oh my goodness. And I mean, with a lot of these, you know, things happening with the state legislature and just, you know, long story short, a lot of young people are leaving the state of West Virginia and, you know, Appalachia as a whole. Why do you stay?
Because I want to make this place not that. I want it to be a place where people will want to stay. Like, do I want to be here living with all these people who are against LGBTQIA+ existence? No, but I'm determined to change it.
So my entire life, all I wanted to do was leave. And I don't when exactly it shifted. I think through this work at some point it did, but now I can't imagine leaving because I feel that if we leave, then they win. And this is my home. This is where I grew up. This is where my family is. And this is where my partner's family is. And we should not have to leave because of the way we are treated by others. that is giving them a victory that I just am not willing to give them.
Absolutely. I feel like growing up, my fight was then in my youth, but now my fight is for everybody else so they don't have to endure that.
I mean, I've interviewed when I asked in a previous project I did talking about, you know, LGBTQ plus people staying in, you know, in Appalachia, West Virginia. She said, like, I want to make this place better than where I left it, pretty much. So yeah, absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. Well, to kind of end on a positive note, what are some things that you would like to do without MOV in the future, kind of when everyone's vaccinated, even when, like, you know, we want to talk about like a post-vaccinated world, what are some of the things that you would like to do with this organization?
Some of our long-term goals are to start providing not only educational events, but educational materials. One of the things that I'm kind of like getting information and like chatting to parents about is I would like to help in starting a key flag in the area. Most of us don't have children, so we don't want to do this. But I would like to get some parents together to put that organization. A lot of parents have been asking if there is a parent support group for them to go to and, you know, discuss ways to make things better for their children. So that's definitely a long-term goal. Way in the future, we would like to start a 501c3 for specifically fundraising and eventually have a drop-in center. That is a very long-term goal. In the short term, we want to have summer events. Hope we can have summer events. We have some stuff in the works that's tentative. We would like to have an open meeting sometime in May and invite people to come and volunteer and get involved. Also, we would really, really like to have that mac and cheese cook-off.
Oh my God, yes. I love mac and cheese. I'd love to go if that ever ends up happening.
Yes, I feel like the second we can gather and start doing events, I'm going to hit the ground running. All About MOV is going to hit the ground running. I feel like we're all so pent up with needing to go out there and do things that we're going to do a lot. I'm excited.
It's going to be like just hit the ground. I think everyone's just going to like, not just the people organizing it, but like more people are going to be like, I have been inside for a year, almost, you know, like, right. I'm going to do everything now. Then I feel that. So I hope that I'll be able to come by to some of your events in the future. I would love to come.
Yes. And we would love to see you.
Yes. Well, and another thing, so what are some of the things, so you mentioned like the educational resources and stuff. What do you hope that like this group accomplishes in the next few years?
We hope to really grow our numbers in volunteers so we can do more things and the small group will not burn out. We've started doing some educational things, but we would like to be able to put on like job workshops where we help people interview for jobs, glow ups for trans women, just all sorts of different little workshop things that we haven't been able to do yet that like we've been brimming with ideas about. And we want to continue to lobby, and we want that lobbying to help change. And so I'm really looking forward to be able to go down to the Capitol. They're not looking forward to seeing me, but I'm looking forward to seeing them.
Awesome. How about you, Justin? Anything you wanted to add with that?
Yeah, in terms of growing numbers, being the media chair, I have to say Out MOV, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, anything is Out MOV. Come find us and we will be very happy to serve you.
If anybody would like to donate, they can donate on our website at outmovie.org. And we are poor, so we will take anything.
Of course, and I'll make sure to link all of this in the description for your episodes. That way it's easy access for all of my listeners out there.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Thank you so much to Justin and to Liz for being on the show this week. Make sure you're following OutMOV on all of their platforms. And if you're able to donate, please donate. They're doing a lot of awesome work and they have a lot of plans for the future. So that's one of the best ways you can help them out with that. And thank you all again for listening this week. Once again, I'm your host, Kayla Gagnon, and this has been Queer Mountaineers. I'll see you next time.